What's going on, y'all? Welcome to the Chain Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremiah Mitchell, joined by Mr. Jeremiah Harding. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing reasonable. Just had my first fucking little, like, non-product placement. Fuck. Yeah, there you go. I had my first little one of these for the day, so I get three of those a day.
That's a protein bar for audio-only listeners. Very important information for you to know. Nature Valley, I believe.
Yeah, Oh, good.
Skype issues already. This is going to be a good show. We didn't hear anything that you said
there.
Oh,
yeah, definitely.
But
okay, all right. What I said was I like them because they have a decent amount of protein and saturated fats. So, and no, this isn't a sponsored thingy or whatever. I just like them.
I know that particular name brand because they're relatively cheap compared to other ones. That's why I recognize the box.
Yeah.
So, anything new, anything good in your personal life that you'd like to get out there?
Well, I sold a couple shirts yesterday. My anti-thin blue line shirt and my statism kill shirt. Somebody in Florida bought two of them. So, if you're That's listening cool. to this, thank you for the purchases.
The thin blue line, protecting the American people who are cops from justice. We did not have a show last week because guess what I did, y'all? And I can't even blame my kid for this one. I forgot what day it was, which is not something I do very frequently. But I did have a bit of an idyllic weekend, which is I think is what contributed to it. My brother came over on Saturday and we spent 10 hours destroying and renovating a stairway at my house. And then when we got done working and cleaning up, another friend came over and we just played video games till the early morning hours. And then I didn't know. Apparently when I woke up, I didn't know what day it was, and I just kept on going with continuing to finish the window installation we did on Sunday. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I had a podcast today that I was supposed to do with Harding. So I apologize for that. It doesn't have to be very frequently. I know our listeners are at least accustomed to erratic releases of episodes a little bit, or at least we've missed a lot of weeks since summer, but at least not the ones that are still here expect it, so we'll be all right.
Yeah, well, and it was fine, really, because like I got a lot of stuff done that I might not have made excuses about otherwise. So I mean, basically, we were doing the same thing with the time anyway, just different applications of getting stuff done. And I'm glad to hear that because windows are heavily important during this time of year. So you know, I mean, like I'm sort of glad it happened. A bunch of stuff that I needed to do got done, and I was just starting to come down with the sinus infection that I'm just now getting over. So you know, it worked out. It worked out.
Well, good. I got some stuff done and a little bit of a break. So, I mean, there's always a lot happening in the news and whatnot. But one thing that happened this last week, might have been more than a week ago, was the video was released of an Arizona police shooting of a man named Daniel Shaver. And it was released after it was discovered that there was no conviction of the officer in question who did the shooting. That beep is Skype telling me that our connection is poor and it keeps trying to reconnect it. But I don't know if this is actually going to work. Harding, are you hearing me at all?
I just heard you say, are you hearing me at all?
Hey, perfect. Great timing. Right. Would you like to tell us a little bit about, give some of the background details of the Daniel Shaver shooting?
Assuming that Skype holds for my AIDS today, and it's pretty much always AIDS, but it's super AIDS today.
It is super AIDS. This is almost unworkable. All right, we'll turn off your video. Turn off your video, then share. That'll get the audio quality better and usually result in a stronger just
all right, I'll give that a shot.
All overall. And people love staring at me. I mean, we get comments all the time about just how grateful they are that I put my mug in video form on the internet. with my excellent sweatshirt style, and it is getting a little hot in here. So, dude, can you hear me? Are you going to keep cutting out? You good?
I don't know if I'm going to keep cutting out.
You can't predict the future?
No.
Okay.
But
tell us about Daniel Shaver.
So, in general, here's the bottom line up front. We've got officer guns down this guy who was crawling on his hands and knees and begging for his life, unarmed, father of two. That's the bottom line up front. The fuller fleshed out story is that Daniel Shaver was essentially a pest control worker at this hotel he was staying at. He had this pest control pellet rifle that distributed pesticides, and people assumed he was holding a real weapon gun in a hotel window, and everybody's got this harried weird fear about that now. And you know, even in an open carry state like Arizona, it was still problematic enough that that some snowflake called the cops on him, and he was doing his job. He had the rifles because he was doing his job, and he was about to come back to his family. He was in this room with this woman. I forget how she was related to him. And she and the man were called out. And Shaver and this woman were ordered to the ground and then ordered to do a long series of insane things.
With circus their animals or something at SeaWorld or some crazy shit like that. That's what it felt
like Simon Says. And yeah. And it was, and so then they were ordered to crawl on their hands and knees toward the officers with their legs crossed or something. And when Daniel reached back to make sure he didn't trip over his basketball shorts, which were loose and sort of falling off, the officer shot him. And the officer in question has "You're fucked" engraved into his rifle. And the other officer was the one barking orders. So this one clearly wasn't even the one Simon Says-ing them. This one clearly just wanted to pump rounds into an innocent person. And his name is Brailsford, Philip Brailsford. And he was a Mormon missionary until he found out how homicidal he was and joined the police force. So and people have been posting what they think is his docs online. I will neither support nor condemn that publicly, but I have my own opinions on what should or shouldn't be done with that information. And if you wanted to Google it, you could definitely find it. Theoretically, if you for some reason wanted to. But that's the general story, is the Daniel Shaver, an unarmed father of two, working a pest control job with pest control rifles that looked really authentically nothing like the AR that actually killed him. Was gunned down in a hotel hallway because he didn't explicitly follow orders from people that shouldn't have been giving those orders in the first place. It was improper procedure. He should have been handcuffed when he was already down, and the fucking pig shot him when he was already on his approach to the pig, doing things that aren't proper police procedure and that are used for enemy combatants overseas. Veterans have been calling these people out. Officers have been calling these people out. And specifically, Brailsford is a former cop now because he fears for his and his family's life. And
don't hurt his family.
Well, just, of course, don't hurt his family.
I know we haven't advocated anyone hurt Brailsford, and we would never advocate such a thing. But we explicitly, do not endanger or threaten his family.
I would never advocate the death of anybody but a tyrant, and Philip Brailsford certainly isn't a tyrant now, is he? If he was, then he should definitely be deposed.
Yeah, okay. And yeah, it's one of the most egregious videos I've seen of all the ones that exist so far, and as he caught by police body cam this time, Which is kind of...
Luckily.
Yeah, thankfully, I guess. But you just imagine... How often, before the advent of cell phones everywhere, of cameras everywhere, and even now police body cams, which obviously aren't really effective at... or don't seem to be that effective at keeping police accountable. But I'm grateful that they had them in this particular location so that we could have this video and share just one more atrocity committed by this monopoly on protection, quote unquote.
Well, if you want to hear my conspiracy theory on what body cams are actually for, then I'll let you know.
Let's wait a sec on that. But I'd like to hear it. Yeah, how often did this stuff occur? It all the time. It had to be, pretty much. I don't think things have changed that much. It actually seems like the police are still functioning in a time as if these cameras didn't exist. Probably the way that they were taught, which really is. And if you read guys like Rayford Davis and other former cops that have talked about this stuff, a lot of this is just the exact way that police are trained. This is how they are taught to behave. This is how they are taught to treat people for various ways and to put their protection above all else. And then they are held accountable in light of that particular training. Like, I was trained to shoot people who were lifting up their pants while they were doing what I told them to. That is literally what cops are, not literally, but that is essentially what they are trained to do. And then
basketball shorts could definitely hold up a gun.
Yeah, and then they're able to get acquitted based upon them just following their training. Well, if any one of us normal non-state actors were trained to treat people in that particular way, we could never say to a judge or a jury, oh, well, we were just doing what we were trained to do. Well, we could certainly say that, but they'd say, it doesn't matter. Your training was shite.
Mm-hmm. Even if you worked for a private contractor security firm, you're fucked.
Yeah, that would never.
Unless
that
you're
would
an officer,
that would never be on a gun. Or if it was, it would be against company policy to be on a gun of someone hired by a private security firm. More than likely,
because
it's really bad PR. Yeah, not necessarily, but most likely, I suspect, because it's horrible PR. You're fucked. What kind of a security person is that? That's not someone you want coming to your house and, you know, meeting with your family after a robbery or helping you with some sort of potential security issue or a stalker or fears or concerns. You know, someone who's around your kids and has "you're fucked" on his gun, like he wants to kill someone. You'd probably go with another company or at least contact the present guy and be like, that's really unprofessional. That is a little frightening to have in my home around my family.
Yeah, definitely. And not to mention the fact that if they are there for your safety, theoretically, then saying "you're fucked" isn't necessarily a good way to open. Like, right. if I'm fucked, then why are you here? If you're here, then why am I fucked? You know, I mean, you could theoretically make the point that the person is just saying, like, you know, you're fucked to the villain, to the enemy. But since cops are trained to treat everyday citizens pulling up basketball shorts or you know, playing with a BB gun in the case of, I think his name was Tariq Nasheed. Tamir Rice.
Yeah, Tamir Rice. Tamir Rice. Yeah.
And you know, or playing with a Wii in the case of that kid who got shot.
I can't remember his name. Is in a trailer park.
Something Davis, I think.
Could be.
But yeah, and
Wii he answered the door with a Wii controller because one of his parents had a warrant out for their arrest. I can't remember what it was. It was
a parole violation.
Oh, a parole violation, which could be fucking anything. Like, I had a beer or I showed up 5 minutes late to check in. So I had a warrant out for a parole violation. Then they shot this 12-year-old kid because he had a Wii controller. No conviction. He answered the door with a Wii controller. Killed him.
And everybody, like, all the cop-sucking bootlickers are just like, oh, yeah, the woman was so sad about it, though.
Yeah, it's so fucking stupid. People that defend cops for being evil are some of the most brainwashed in our world today. Although it's hard to say. They're just brainwashed in a really particularly crazy way. The socialists are brainwashed too. Yeah, the left that doesn't seek to defend cops at every corner definitely have their own version of the brainwashing. But the right, some elements of the right and some elements of the left, I suspect. Harding, you should probably turn off your video again to see if that helps. They defend what is obviously and explicitly caught on video murder, or would be considered that if any other person did it, that what didn't belong to this magic organization that made ethical things that were obviously evil. The government.
Yeah, well, and also, of course, the idea that these people, you know, acted within their authority, then authority should be limited. Or, you know, in this particular case, because their state is pigs, it should be non-existent. People need to be warriors because they're given surplus military equipment. They're given, you know, all of these military training assault courses, you know. And they're trying to say that, oh, it's just, you know, policing for the modern day, but it's fucking not. And everybody with like half a brain tucked between their skull plates knows this.
Yeah, and the police are often trained by the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, which literally is an occupying foreign army in Palestine. That's what police in the U.S. are often trained by. It's really disgusting. I don't know if it's good news. Yeah, we'll call it good news, relatively speaking. The murderer of Walter Scott, who was also a thug of the state, was given 20 years in prison.
Yeah, he was ritualistically sacrificed.
Yeah, definitely. There could be, it's possible that there is going to be more movement in that direction. I don't know. I can't name another officer that was charged with murder after murdering someone while on duty. Can you?
There isn't one. He's an anomaly. He's the first one, as far as I'm aware, to get a penalty like this. Normally, they lose their job at that precinct and have to accept one and another. Yes. And that's the extent of their punishment. It's essentially a slap on the wrist. And so, you know, this person, this case, I don't know if how many people remember, but there was an episode of South Park where they were saying that Britney Spears was this ritual sacrifice, and that there had to be one of these people. And like at the end of the episode, everybody was just snapping pictures of her until she dissolved, I think. And that's what this is like. You know, the guy who gunned down Walter Scott in cold blood while he was running away and unarmed, that person, is getting 20 years. But it's an anomalous thing. And it's making an example, and it's saying, oh, well, see, we punish cops, too. You don't need to. You should just stay with your head down, you know, like fucking like the Nine Inch Nails song. And, you know, just embrace this shit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm hopeful, but I think it is possible that public pressure to convict police, especially in the case when the people they murder are black, might be strong enough, and maybe will grow more so that they have to keep doing this periodically. We'll see.
I would hope that the state collapses on under the weight of its securities fraud, essentially by defaulting on all these faulty loans that they give to other countries and business enterprises to create the fiat currency that we have, so that the entire thing can collapse. You know, I would hope that happens before this becomes regularly necessary, but I don't have any, you know, strong, you know, inclination to believe that that's what's going to happen, because the state perpetuates itself on people's distraction, and there's more ways to distract oneself than ever these days. It's fucking pathetic.
It's just nice when individual cases, at least something happened. At least one guy is off the streets for a while. You know, one menace to society.
Absolutely.
Definitely not police reform is not a long-term solution. That's for damn sure. But there's some sort of minor approximation to justice in this one particular case. And maybe it might be an indicator that this will happen more often in the future. We'll see. I will keep my eye out for it. Okay. Do you want to tell us why body cams? Why you think? What's your conspiracy regarding body cams?
Okay, so they're supposed to promote officer accountability, but even when the body cams catch bullshit, they don't fucking go down for it. Like this guy caught in essentially a drive-by shooting that cops were guilty of, you know, or this, even not body cams, even just surveillance cams, catching this guy who like ran from cops in a taxi or something, and he was surrendering and he got on his fucking knees and the cops beat the shit out of him with steel batons. The cops will never be accountable. They will never be accountable. So these body cams, they're only good if the police department is willing to admit wrongdoing when it's captured on film, and it's not. And I think we can agree to that. So the only other purpose I can see them serving is being surveillance devices so that cops can catch all of us wherever we are, have constant video records that our phones and PCs and whatever don't capture, that the surveillance cameras on the countless capitulating business storefronts don't capture. You know, this would fill in the gaps. This would allow the cops to be the roving security droids that hapless and mindless Pokemon Go players aren't. You know, so that sort of thing, you know, it's really obviously to me anyway, a security apparatus. And it's, you know, it's sort of like, I could say the same thing about things like Niantic, which is a CIA and NSA affiliated organization, sponsoring an app where they tell people exactly where to go with cameras and listening devices and reward them with cartoon animals. Only this time it's rewarded with the ability to gun down people in cold blood and not be held accountable for it and get a steady paycheck. So to me, the body cams are just a security apparatus thing. They're just designed for the security state to have more eyes in more places. And it's just Big Brother. It's not any sort of reform at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that seems like not that many cameras in not that many areas, relatively, especially areas that aren't already cammed. But I do 100% agree that it doesn't mean police will be held accountable. My only hope with that is that it might make the public more aware of how the police function. And it did in cases with, like, you know, like Daniel Shaver, and maybe increase negative public sentiment toward the police, which is really, really important. It's,
well, right, but why did really... Daniel Shaver beg?
What?
Why did Daniel Shaver beg? Why did he beg for his life? Why was he crying?
Because he wanted to live?
Right, but it's because he knew that cops kill a shit ton of people and get away with it. So this person was probably going to be merciless and he was probably going to die no matter what he did. And so, yeah, sure, it can make the public against the cops, but unless we're willing to physically do something about it, nothing is going to change. And so it increases the fear.
Step one.
Mostly.
Step one. Yeah. I think increasing the negative sentiment, police still have a ton of support. And super ironically, I mean, this should be pointed out incessantly with every anti-big government cop advocate, someone who bootlicker. They're like, yeah, I'm not into big government. Oh, government's tyrannical. We should be held. It would only follow the Constitution. We should have lower taxes, fewer laws, fewer restrictions. Dumb fuck. It's the law enforcement officers that impose that will anyway. Without that shit, it'd just be words on paper. Like, that hypocrisy. It's I there's so much of it in my life, which might be why I find it the most annoying, but it can't be pointed out enough because it's so idiotic and small-minded and completely contradictory. And worse than all those things is it's evil. You know, you're supporting evil in the name of good. But really, you're just a scared product of your culture that can't or chooses not to escape the bullshit propaganda that you've been taught since you were a kid. The evil bullshit propaganda.
Being forced to pledge allegiance to the flag before you could sign your own permission slips to go on a field trip. Yeah, yeah. I mean, being spanked by your parents so that you don't get beaten by a cop when you're an adult because you get used to being a sheep, law-abiding citizen. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Learning that the U.S. government is the benevolent institution that it isn't.
Yeah, even
because you're learning about how all these wars that were fought for your benefit.
Which is so, again, like, it's just such, the government is so good at creating terms that are the exact opposite of what they actually are. And I was thinking Department of Defense, you know, Affordable Care Act, No Child Left Behind, net neutrality, all these things, like they really mean the opposite of what the actual title is. And they literally,
Patriot Act,
Patriot
Security.
Act, yes. Over and over
Federal
again,
Reserve.
They try to convince you that what they're doing is in this particular area is the exact opposite of what they are actually doing. It's insane. But like you were saying, when you get to kids that early, I mean, I thought that it was good to say the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, it wasn't that I was being forced to. I didn't even have to think about it. That's what you do when you're a decent and honorable young boy. That's how you behave. That's a part of morality and laws. Laws are a part of morality. That's a part of basic human ethics. Good people in this world follow the laws that their government creates. And when that stuff gets ingrained inside you as a kid, despite it being irrational and not have its foundation in anything substantive, it's tough to break through. It was tough for me to break through. And I was a little bit of an intellectual weirdo anyway. So it's going to be more difficult for people who are less inclined for whatever reason toward free thinking to break through than me. But damn, any way you can break people through those barriers, do it. Whether you have to ease them along or give them a mental kick in the nuts, do it.
That's why I like that video, except some of the names they listed, like fucking, man, I can't even remember.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Point. That video, Call the Cops by Rob Hussle.
I've never seen it.
It's a good video for the most part, except that like, they have like non-police brutality victims there. Like they listed the guy who was killed by George Zimmerman, and I can't think of his name right now.
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah, Trayvon Martin.
Which is not police brutality.
No, but people constantly call it police brutality, even though he wasn't a cop, and even though he was maybe being ground pounded, you know, I mean.
Yeah, when I looked into that situation at the time, it certainly seemed like there was at least a very good chance that what George Zimmerman was saying was true based on the evidence. That even seemed to be the most likely scenario, that he was fearing for his life and he shot Trayvon Martin. That now all accounts subsequently seem to indicate that George Zimmerman is an asshole in many ways. I mean, I think he was accused of domestic abuse and things like that. Let's not deny that, but you can actually be an asshole and a horrible person in various ways in your life, and in certain situations, be defending yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm an asshole. I wrote an article that said why most people don't deserve to live. I mean, I don't exactly have this nice persona.
When did you write that?
Oh, that was a couple months back. I was extremely angry, and I decided to put onto paper what I had been thinking for a while. Okay. And I didn't say, like, there's a policy prescription for that, like why these people should die, but why they aren't earning their living, why they aren't, like, picking up their own weight, why they're contributing to wasteful and terrible cycles that, you know, that are going to make the world worse. And these people, you know, are saying that their life is just as equally valuable as everybody else's, because that's the equality mumbo jumbo shoved down our throats. But it's not true. These people aren't contributing anything. They're not interested in making society better. They just want to live their lives. And I don't know that that's deserved.
Well, I would disagree with you. I think, like, there's something inherently valuable about just living your life. And certainly the people who are, I far prefer people who are just living their life and enjoying it and making the most of it than those people who are advocating for state aggression, you know, or participating in doing it themselves.
But aren't the people advocating state aggression most people?
Yes.
Realistically?
Yes. I wouldn't say don't deserve to live, but they have a, like, in some ways, like, I'm all for holding people morally responsible for their actions, and at certain points in their life when they've been presented with particular ideas, morally responsible for their ideology. However, I also think it is important that we see sort of everyone or every average person that has grown up in this propagandistic culture and nation, and with, you know, family, school, movies, TV, books, everything in their life they've been propagandized. It's important to also see them as victims.
I agree with it to some extent. But it's sort of like when Bowling for Columbine, the Michael Moore documentary, asked Marilyn Manson what he would say to the kids who didn't apparently even like his music. So that's funny on its own. But
back when music, you know, was to blame for school shootings, I forgot about that.
But Marilyn Manson was asked what he would have said to these people, and he said he wouldn't have said anything. He would have listened. I mean, but the fact that these people were victims of bullying and a terrible tyrannical school official set, and the fact that the propaganda was increased and not decreased by this, doesn't actually mean that these people weren't guilty of something. And so I understand that the victim thing can create bad people. And, you know, I feel bad for them, but I also feel bad for their victims. And, you know, I think they're victims in a lot of these cases of people who, like, just support the state and back the blue and USA is best SA. And we're talking about, like, people who blindly do this or who look the other way when they do see something bad. They support the deaths of people in the Middle East. They support the mass killings of people in Sudan if they grew up in the 80s and supported Bill Clinton. They support the peppering of landscapes by depleted uranium if they, you know, grew up during the George W. Bush years and they supported him. I'm partially to blame for that. I can be quoted as saying that George Bush did nothing wrong. And so when you start to realize that these mentalities are what lead to the actions, then you start to realize that these things are what need to be confronted directly. And in that way, we can say that these people are directly worsening the lives of others and therefore should probably have some sort of moral recompense for that. And I think that
not deserving to live
is different than deserving to die, but I think that these people should start earning their keep.
Well, that's an important distinction. Thank you for that. Do you feel differently about people who... Obviously you do, but do you think there's always room for repentance, for, you know, turning from their evil
Absolutely.
Ideologies?
Okay. And that's probably partially, at least, because I was a Christian at one point in my life. And I do think that there's a way to return also, from everything.
You were a statist at one point in your life.
Yes, too. And so, I'm not anymore.
You've been through that process, yeah. Of so, turning from that and trying to get rid of all this bullshit in our heads. It seems like every like 4 months I think of another way that I've been perceiving the world to be all or perceiving it all wrong and in irrational ways because of my irrational upbringing, or at least that's what I attribute it to. It's still
like without government, who would protect the internet?
Right. Right. Do you want to jump to net neutrality quick? I mean, I don't even know.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I don't need to talk about childhood propaganda anymore. Disgust me. But it is real nice to be raising a kid not in that fucking environment. Damn. It'll be interesting to see like.
And when I find the one, I'm going to I'm going to try to get and get 5 kids, because that's that would beat the national average for retards, for low IQ people.
Good. You know what? This is just related to some shit I read recently. We need you to have 5 kids because we need to preserve whites and Western culture in this world. So as pale skinned as you yourself are, then having 5 children, that would be fantastic. Just don't do what I did and marry someone that's 25% Native American. And you'll end up with a kid that's over an eighth, and it's just real problematic for our world. I mean, he's going to be a anti-freedom world destroyer, I'm sure, you know, with all that non-white blood in him.
Yeah, I mean, and he's certainly going to be a welfare whore, because that's the only thing that's only things that non-whites are, and whites are clearly the only people who have pulled themselves up by the bootstraps.
Yeah, absolutely. He's going to be a big government welfare whore. he's gonna be super violent too. You know, he's gonna be a great danger to other people, and he's gonna be stupid. He's gonna be low IQ. You know, not like whites over the last 100 years who haven't been violent at all. Oh, I mean, as long as you don't include wars, as long as you don't include being involved in government violence overseas, and as long as you don't include things like dropping atomic bombs, things like that, you know.
Well, and of course,
they haven't really been violent, you know, in terms of inner city drug violence.
And of course, the fact that the cities are polluted by drugs because of white people and because of the CIA specifically, and then the police brutality that takes place because of violence created on the street by government, that's primarily white people that are doing it. So those people clearly are just anomalies.
Yeah, those are exceptions that prove the rule. I've been particularly, just FYI, everyone, I've been particularly annoyed by seeing white nationalists lately come across my news feed, and it seems like there are more of them, which, what the fuck? And all these race realist people, which are really, generally, they're just racist people who don't really take into account data very well, or they take into account very incomplete sets of data. And it's super frustrating, because what a distraction. A lot of these people are the types that are anti-government in many senses, and then they're getting all into this racism, Western culture, white preservation type bullshit. And it's a tremendous waste of energy in what I believe to be, at best, a direction that is like off of the central cause. But I think it actually just moves the cause backward, the cause of freedom.
Well, any distraction moves the cause of freedom backward. Well, you know, but that's...
Well, I think there's some that can just make it move forward less quickly, but there's, you know, some actually are a counterforce.
Well,
I think
definitely.
This one probably is. So that's all the sarcasm. I'm just fucking pissed.
Of course, I do actually like that. That part wasn't a joke. I do actually want 5 children because,
sorry,
you know, like But the, like, it's because I know that the people who don't think have the most children, and so the people who do think need to have large amounts of them themselves, and the people with good genetics, you know, specifically not white people, but like people with like good genetics that produce like strong bodies, strong minds, that sort of thing, no matter what their race is, no matter what their background is, they need to get fucking, and they need to do it like as quickly as possible and as much as possible, because we need to outpace the retards who are like destroying the world by being lazy in their thinking.
Yeah, I don't want any more smart socialists. So if you're a socialist out here who also has a high IQ and a great body, just please stop fucking.
Well, no, the socialists should fuck, and then when they realize that they need to take care of these children on their own, then they'll have much more reason to realize that that socialism is a failure because it fails to account for individuality, that because it fails to account for reasoned purchases, because, you know, the whole point of socialism is trying to centrally manage things, and when you realize how hard it is to centrally manage a large family, even, you're gonna realize how hard it's going to be for anybody to centrally manage an economy, or much less a government. So, I do want them to, because I think that having children is reality, and I think that reality is what they're running from when they run towards socialism.
Yeah, it does seem like the more people actually engage with personal responsibility, the less inclined they are to be socialists, unless except for the people that have found a way to find increase the amount of personal responsibility in their life and then put that responsibility off on others using the state. They might tend to be more socialist in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, those people are the same sorts of people that like net neutrality.
Wow, what a transition. Harding Q, so today is December 17th. On December 14th, I remember that because it's my wife's birthday. The net neutrality rules that were put in place under Obama's FCC in 2015 were removed. We haven't talked about this before at all. What are your thoughts on it? Because I'm assuming you have a more interesting take than me.
Maybe. I don't know. But the idea of net neutrality, first off, it didn't start in 2015. It started in, like, pretty much 2005. There's this guy, I forget what his name is. Oh, man. It's like the Sitch PSA. I think that's what his YouTube is. If y'all can find the Sitch PSA, I think that's called PSA Sitch. Yeah, that one. He did this really great video presentation, even though I hate the way he speaks, on the existence of net neutrality far before 2015, like a decade prior. And this was all little bits of legislation that tried to stop people like Verizon and Comcast from blocking competition on their services, or from meddling in competition that existed on their services and then lying about it. Things like that. Essentially, there has been neutrality requests since pretty much as soon as the net became a consumer thing instead of just for nerds. And so, like, think back to the MySpace days. That's about when this kind of shit started. Started to really pick up steam. Like, class action lawsuits against phone companies for, like, preventing tethering or some shit like that. And so this stuff has been trying to happen for a while, but the problem was that the FCC hadn't classed the internet, like cable providers, as Title II. And in 2015, they finally classed them as Title II, and this just removed that classification. But what it didn't remove is the cable monopolies that exist in regions, because those regions are essentially controlled by certain cable output, and you can't join, you can't string up your own cable, because the U.S. government has already said that they're the regional monopoly, essentially. They didn't remove the laws that protected cable and kept it monopolistic. They didn't make the internet freer and opener. They just sided with people like Google and Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr, who have been known to ban people and, be censorious.
When the net neutrality rules were put in place, that was the siding with.
Sorry, what?
When the FCC, I'm just trying to clarify, when the FCC declared it to be Title II and thus give itself more authority over it, that's how they, right. I won't come into that, but that was when they were like siding with Facebook and Netflix and all these other big companies,
censorious bastards.
Yeah, who it's really a couple things there. I'm just going to comment for a bit. I'm sure you had more to say, but it's an interesting dynamic because what benefits the ISPs most probably, or at least what a lot of the ISPs want, was the net neutrality removed, so they potentially have a little bit more freedom in the way that they price their products, so that, you know, Netflix uses the vast majority of the bandwidth on the internet and thus costs ISPs some of it, the most of I think any other website, because streaming requires a lot of bandwidth. So they want the freedom to potentially charge more for people who want to use that much bandwidth. So on one hand, you have these giant government-enabled megacorps who would like to have more freedom in terms of their ability to interact with consumers and other companies. And then you have companies like Facebook, Netflix. I think is YouTube on there? Because I know Google's kind of on both sides of this.
YouTube is pro net neutrality. Okay. They were one of the people who changed their logo and said to call and fucking blah blah and fucking the Republicans are destroying everything and blah.
That's what I thought. So you have other giant megacorps who are like, we need net neutrality. So it's an interesting dynamic that happens every once in a while where the removal of net neutrality actually is a tiny increase in market freedom, and we'll get to the ISP problem in a second, because you, instead of having the government, the government is ruling in favor of a particular set of giant corporations against another set of giant corporations. It seems to be one of the only ways that you can increase market freedom is to have two groups or two massive government interests with massive amounts of lobbyists who have desires that run contrary to each other. Otherwise, yeah, just girls.
Well, because here's the thing about like Facebook, Twitter, etc. They're censorious bastards.
They're the worst of the censors. And here's the deal: the FCC would become worse. They probably will still in the future. But if they had Title II authority, they would become worse than Facebook and Twitter and all those other people. I can pretty much.
Well, they've had Title II authority for 2 years. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's not very long. It's not very.
Yeah.
You know, but give it a little bit of time, and we'll see. You know, things like television and radio, where you can't say certain words without being taken off the air. I don't think it'd be that bad on the internet. But it'd be pretty bad. I bet it would increase in terms of their censorship a lot. And like you're saying.
Well, because, sure. And here's the real problem with this. The reason these internet service providers wanted something different is because they have to run the servers. But the reason that these companies didn't want it was because they might have to change their entire business model in order to suit, you know, lack of regulation. And instead of being smarter about it, and or instead of, you know, fucking siding with the essentially wise people who say that service that uses more services should cost more, they just put up this neutrality thing and claimed that everything would load slower and cost huge amounts of money if that was the but they don't consider price theory, because they're not Austrians, because they're idiots. And the idea of price theory is that people will price things at what the market considers their value to be, you know. So why would Facebook or Twitter or Netflix suddenly charge huge amounts for their services when they didn't do that before and lose a huge amount of their user base just because they fucking could? Why would they do that? I don't see any point to that. But beyond that, they like the idea of censoring people. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the stuff he was saying, but fucking everybody banned Christopher Cantwell from their services. Everybody just arbitrarily, you don't get to use the things you bought anymore. You don't get to use the services that you've built up audiences on anymore. You don't get to say what you want to anymore. And it's because we disagree with what you're saying. It's not because he was breaching policy or breaking rules. It's because he was saying things that they didn't like, and they had this idea that, you know, oh, we had these clauses that we could deny services to anyone for any reason, you know, notwithstanding blah blah. But it's bullshit to consider these people neutralists. I mean, Andrew Auerheimer, who is another white nationalist, made a really good point in a video, which I, you know, again, don't agree with everything they say, but
you've got to find someone different to quote.
But he made a good point that Google is withholding dailystormer.com and not letting anybody use it because they don't like what it was being used for. So Google is not a neutralist. Facebook is not a neutralist. Twitter is not a neutralist. None of these people are neutralists. The word neutrality should not be in net neutrality because it doesn't break up any of the monopolies, nor does it regulate force on these people who have been non-neutral in the past. I mean, just because Facebook is a social networking platform and just because Google is a search engine doesn't mean that they're not providing a paid product and service, and it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, that they shouldn't be held to the same standards that Verizon was in saying that you can't block tethering apps just because you have one. You can't block, you know, Antifa websites just because there's a white nationalist website, or vice versa. If we truly had a free and open internet, there might be something to it. But what they do is they create this baseline of corruption and this locked down, controlled internet, and they won't let anybody step outside predetermined spaces with what they say. And then they say, well, you know what? If you don't let us keep this certain control, it's going to get so much worse. And they hold it over people's heads. And then people beg for it to be the way that it is, even though that's not the way it should be. And that's what's fucking sick. You know, agree with people or not, but they should be able to say whatever the fuck they want on a theoretically free and open internet, and they fucking aren't.
Yeah, and you hinted at it before, mentioned it before a few times, but it's important to note there are no good people. There are no good sides to this. Like, yeah, Facebook and Google and Twitter don't want a free and open internet, and neither do the ISPs. You know, it's not
or the FCC, which is run now by the former chairman of the FCC. So there's that, and a former worker at Verizon.
Yeah, the FCC for sure doesn't want that. They did decrease their own power, and that's for political gain. That's clout. That's they're benefiting in some way from that. I can pretty much guarantee it. They always do. But ISPs, I think we've talked about this. Everyone knows this. State. It's not primarily federal governments, to my understanding, that keep ISPs. Prevent people from running new lines and prevent people from providing more internet services and more internet options in a region. It's primarily state and local governments who engage in that sort of behavior, who form these deals with Comcast and Spectrum, Charter, whatever. Usually the larger ones, in order to prevent other companies from moving in. I mean, you even have companies as big as Verizon and Google who cannot lobby enough to get cities or states or counties to allow them to run fiber to people in a region, because these other companies, these entrenched interests, already have such a hold in the region with the local politicians and the local rulers. And that's a reminder to all y'all secessionists out there. It might be preferable to have a more localized government, but a tyrant that lives next door can be just as tyrannical as the tyrant that lives thousands of miles away.
Especially now that those tyrants can communicate over Skype if their internet isn't AIDS.
Yes.
And of course, governments get the best internet because it's DARPANET anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, but it was free and open at one point, though. We got to preserve that. Everything's going to die and be overpriced.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the frustrating things, because I hate my internet service provider, and I have one alternative that is worse, and they're new into the area. So people always think it's the dumbest thing. People think they live their lives as if, and we got to go really soon. They live their lives and thinking that the government is some great check on corporations, when government is the enabler of corporations, and they're constantly looking for the state to protect them and keep their prices low and keep these giant companies from getting too big and too powerful and being able to manipulate others with their control over essential services, when it's the state that enabled that in the first place from the form, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, but from the forming of the Constitution. It was all about, not all about, but partially about, a big central component in the Constitution was allowing for the government to have enough power to benefit entrenched interests at cost to everyone else, because the market doesn't give a fuck if you've been running your business for 50 years or providing this service for 100 years at this price and in this way. They don't care. They just want the best service at the best price and an optimal balance between those two. That's what the market wants. The market is the biggest danger to large corporations, and the state is its biggest supporter.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the real problem, is that people think, without government, who would do X? And they don't even stop to think whether or not doing X is necessary or beneficial to begin with. And in doing so, government has become this huge fucking bureaucracy of bureaucracy of bureaucracies. And, you know, it's a long series of inefficient bullshit that doesn't need to exist to begin with, mostly. And the things that do need to exist, if people weren't spending so much of their fiat currency on government, if people had good money, sound money, that they were allowed to spend on real shit, you know, then maybe they would pay for those services that are necessary, and there wouldn't be all this fucking goddamn bureaucracy that like makes parodies of itself before the Vogons were ever constructed. You know, it's fucking, it's like pissing into the wind in your own, like, and then telling yourself it's raining. It's fucking awful.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a good description. We were talking, I was thinking, you know, it's not just without government, who would provide X. It's also people think and talk like, without government, who would prevent Y? And then you're like, they're the cause of Y. They are the reason why Y exists. Without government, who would cause Y is the right question. Like, you know, terrorism, for instance, or like we're talking about corporatism. Yeah, without government, who would save me from the giant corporations? Without government, you wouldn't have to worry about any of those things in the first place.
Well, I mean, the real question is, without the CIA, who would arm and fund the terrorists' next rebel group that turns into a functional seed of Al-Qaeda? Without government, who would create enough laws that everybody is breaking one of them so that they can gun people down in hotel lobbies without government, who would steal from us all, whether it be by the arrest of the Federal Reserve and the Mint's fucking monetary scams. You know, without government, who would create huge fucking bureaucracies just to get basic healthcare insurance, and huge fucking, like, insurmountable regulations to start your own business. But then,
all right, you're cutting out. You're cutting out too bad at this point.
Subsidize the business. Okay, without government, who would cut me out?
Without government, who would cut you out? I don't know. Probably Skype. You know, one thing that listeners should be grateful for, as we close today, because I got to get out of here, is that be grateful to the government for is that without government, the Chain Reaction podcast wouldn't exist. So all you chain reactors out there, you can write your local senator and thank them because you get this because they are present in the world. So there's one good thing. All right. Harding, you want to plug anything?
I have a Bitcoin wallet now, which I'm making public. I've had it before, but I'm making my address public shortly. So y'all can send me shit.
Okay. I'm cutting him off of the audio. All right, y'all. You can follow him at Insanity is Free everywhere. You can follow me at Jeremiah JM. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope you have a great week. Thanks, y'all. Peace.